We begin class this morning at the Warren County Radio Bible School with a reading from the Rockcliffe Review, which is the name we put on the bulletin that we pass out to those who assemble at the meeting house at the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe on Sunday mornings. And the article in this bulletin is called Jesus and the Colt. Conquering kings ride horses, but Jesus came to Jerusalem on a colt. The event is documented by Matthew in Matthew 21, 1-11, Mark in Mark 11, verses 1-11, Luke in Luke 19, verses 28-40, and John in John 12, verses 12-19. Mark and Luke tell us the colt had never been ridden. Matthew tells us that the colt was the foal of the jinni that was with him. Some had suggested that the presence of the jinni would have calmed the previously unridden colt that Jesus was riding. The King James translators call the jinni an ass, but modern speech version used the word donkey. The English word donkey has pretty much replaced the English word ass, probably due to the common use of the latter, an insulting, pejorative slang. Matthew tells us that Jesus rode the colt in Jerusalem in fulfillment of a prophecy of Zechariah. In context, the prophet told of an earthly king with an earthly army taking the land by force. But there is this prophecy of a peaceful king. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. The road Jesus took to Jerusalem passed through Bethany and Bethpage and up over the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples before him to find the colt tied as soon as they entered the village. They were to untie him and bring him to Jesus. If any asked why they were taking the colt, they were to say, "The Lord hath need of him." Mark 11 and verse 3. They found the colt just as Jesus said. It was tied by a door where two ways met. The answer the disciples gave satisfied those who saw them untie him. Perhaps they'd heard that Jesus was coming, and they knew that those were his disciples. They were willing, then, to let Jesus borrow the colt for this purpose. When they brought the colt to Jesus, they draped their garments over its back where Jesus would sit. Those seeing this spread garments and strewed branches on the path over which the colt should walk. John identifies these branches as branches of palm trees. John 12 and verse 13. This is why the Sunday before Easter is called Palm Sunday. This was the first day of the week of Jesus in his humility. This is the week which he would be taken, crucified, and buried. On the first day of the next week, he would rise from the dead. Matthew tells us there was a very great multitude, Matthew 21 in verse 8. Mark tells us that those that went before him cried, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Mark 11, 9-10. These are the closing lines of the Hallel, which was commonly sung at the Passover. It's Psalm 113 through Psalm 118, and these particular words are spoken in Psalm 118, verses 25-26. Hosanna means, "Save us now, The added reference to the kingdom of our father David shows that those rejoicing saw Jesus as the Messiah. They were right about Jesus being the Messiah, but they were mistaken. If they thought Jesus would establish an earthly kingdom to save them from Rome, the salvation Jesus had come to bring was the greater spiritual salvation from sin. Jesus had repeatedly avoided the accolades of the multitudes, but now he was openly receiving their praise. He had repeatedly warned his disciples what would happen to him when he came to Jerusalem. And now his hour had come. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he looked round about upon all things, Luke tells us that he wept. Luke 19:41. This was enough for the day. Now the eventide was come, and he went out into Bethany with the 12. He would return the next morning to begin his work for the eventful week ahead. Well, that's often called the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We read over this program from the Rock Cliff Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're in the midst of a Sunday school lesson that was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of December 25th, 1927. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. The angel said unto them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." From Elam's notes on this we read, "Be not afraid," the angel said, to remove the fear of the shepherds. "Fear not" and "be not afraid" were expressions frequently used to allay fear aroused by the miraculous appearance of Jesus and of angels. The angel came to inform the shepherds of the birth of Jesus. This was not only good news to them, but to all people. Jesus came to save both Jews and Gentiles. Jesus means Savior. We can read about other people that were named Jesus in those days. In fact, the very name Joshua means Jesus. It's Joshua the Hebrew, Jesus from the Greek. This Jesus, though, was made Lord in Christ. And there's only one Jesus who is Lord in Christ. And that word Christ, it means anointed. And God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. Prophets, priests, and kings were anointed, and Jesus is all of these. And then we read the word Lord. That means master, or sovereign, or ruler. Hence Christ, the Lord, is the anointed Lord, or King. And the shepherds were to know Jesus by the sign, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Luke 2, verses 13 and 14 says, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men in whom he is well pleased." The heavenly host was a multitude of angels from around the throne of God. They suddenly appeared after the advance angel had announced the birth of Jesus. This was an eventful night on earth and heaven. The angels praised God and declared that the life of the newborn babe would rebound unto the glory of God in the highest and the peace and goodwill of men on earth. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, who lived and died to bring the race into peace with God and with one another, and the gospel is called the Gospel of Christ, peace. Grim-visaged war had drenched the earth again and again in human blood, but he has now been born, who will teach all his followers to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks and learn war no more. And under his influence, the nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Jesus teaches and influences people through the gospel of peace and has made his church the pillar and ground of truth, or has commissioned it and charged it to support and carry his gospel to the whole world. What a pity, and what a great sin it is, then, that any part of his church or any church members should engage in carnal war for the church, or to encourage war as though war is going to bring righteousness to the world. Civil governments depend on war, and they're authorized to do so, but God's spiritual government is not a war of flesh and blood. From his birth to his ascension, angels were close to Jesus. An angel visited Mary, and one came to Joseph. An angel announced the birth of Jesus, and angels first sung in his honor a hymn of praise. Angels ministered to Jesus after his temptation, and one strengthened him in Gethsemane. Angels watched round his tomb, rolled the stone away, proclaimed first his resurrection. He was seen of angels. Angels of God ascended and descended upon him. Angels conducted him to heaven. And when he returns, it will be with the mighty angels. Now we read in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. And it came to pass when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing that is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found both Mary and Joseph and the babe in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known concerning the saying which was spoken to them about the child. And all that heard it wondered at the things which were spoken unto them by the shepherds. Mary kept these sayings, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen, even it was spoken unto them. Having made the above announcement, the angels returned to heaven. The shepherds believed the angels and went at once to see the babe lying in the manger. Without hesitation, they obeyed the word of God. When the shepherd found all things to be just as the angel had described, they made known to all present all that had transpired. All who heard what the shepherds reported were filled with wonder, and Mary kept these sayings in her heart. They made a deeper impression on her than upon the others. Other things had already taken place which filled her heart with wonder and thought. It is stated she kept in her heart that which transpired at Jerusalem when Jesus was visited there with 12 years of age. And we're not astonished that a mother would do this. The angels then returned, glorifying and praising God for the things which they had seen and heard, even as it was spoken unto them. At the end of this lesson is this little poem. Were you ever disappointed because life didn't seem to bring you the things it should, the things of which you dream? Did you ever think that maybe God was just a bit unfair and sometimes get to thinking that now maybe he didn't care? If you've thought those things, forget them and take the path that leads to love and hope and friendship, to a land of noble deeds. Just buy a one-way ticket and your little mind the cost when you dwell in the land of service and find all the things you've lost. Well, that brings this lesson to a close, and we'll continue in the next class.